The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J-Hood. Follow on Twitter at CapJHood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We're Brian Hanley in for Cap. I'm J-Hood. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going. Our Twitch is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Coming up in a half hour, we'll talk about the Bulls. The Bulls falling short against the Pelicans last night at the United Center. We'll talk about the Bulls, not just the game last night, but their future. And we're going to give you the win total. We're going to ask you whether or not it's going to be over or under that number. We'll get to that coming up at 9:35 here on Chicago's Home for Sports. But here we are, Brian. It's going to be another game for the Bears against the Vikings. You know, when you look at the NFC North, I know that for the average Bears fan, it's like, man, we got to be able to catch the Packers. We got to be as good as the Packers. We got to do better. But, you know, if you look at the wins over the last decade, actually the Vikings have more wins than the Bears. The Bears are third on that list as far as wins over the last 10 years. So how about trying to catch the Vikings first before you try to make that big leap on Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, thank God Detroit's around. You know, I'm in survivor pool for the first time this year and forever.
Mm-hmm.
And each, you know, it started with like 1,100, more than 1,100 people in it. So it's, you can't just go, you know, look at who's got the largest spread and say, okay, I'm going to Kansas City's, you know, -8 or -7. I'll take them this week. You have to kind of save the big guns for later in the season when you're trying to get through 1,100 plus. I took Green Bay last week and had so did the majority of the people in the pool, right? And you're sweating out a Green Bay team against Zappy and the Patriots,
right?
And you're in overtime and you're kicking a field goal to win that to survive and move on. And this week I'm thinking the Vikings look like a play because the Bears, 2-2 or not, don't look like much of an offense. And you know that's where the Bears are in the NFL world right now. They're not a very good team, even though they have a better record than most of us thought they would after four games.
I just know that this league pretty much is 500 for the most part. Outside of what the Eagles have done, they're pretty much 500. That is for sure. And so with the Bears, they're fortunate, Brian, to be 2-2.
Sure.
I mean, in this league, now I think you and I know what the end result's going to be. It could be under 6.5. It could be 7. Point is, though, is that this is a team that's not going to the playoffs. They're not even going to sniff it just based on its roster composition. But ultimately, you look at this league, and when I saw the schedule, I saw some coin flip games. It can go either way, quite frankly,
sure,
when you take a look at the schedule. But you know what holds you back from getting to that 6.5? Talent. If you don't have it, that's what it looks like. It looks average or below average.
Yeah, I mean, beating the Texans in Soldier Field, that was one of maybe the only game on the schedule where I'd say, yeah, you should win that game, right? And I think they were only a 3-point favorite at that point. But that's where you are. That's how the rest of the league looks at you because you're right. They're not game changers, difference makers, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. And the question is Justin Fields eventually going to be a difference maker? Will he be the type of quarterback talent that can raise up talent around him? If you have just pretty good or very good players, can he make them great players? But there's no Davante Adams here. I mean, he's not throwing to any guy like that. But we don't even know if he's the next Aaron Rodgers when you look in terms of a career. And that's what you hope he is, that he's going to be an elite quarterback or in that conversation. But we don't know if he's that guy or, you know, he's Zach Wilson.
Right, exactly. Doing the gritty, doing a little dance there in the dugout, in the end zone last week. I saw that. You know, but Brian, but see the difference in the way we covered football versus 10 years ago. You see, everyone wants to know today, is Justin Fields the guy? I have no idea if he's going to be the quarterback for the next 10 years. And you can't really judge that based on the talent around him or the offensive line in front of him, because I know what this is. You know, some just do not want to face the truth that this is a rebuilding year because Pace is out. And by the way, speaking of Ryan Pace, last night during the game, while I was watching the Bulls, just going through Twitter, and I saw the trends. Ryan Pace was trending last night, and I said, did something happen to Ryan Pace? Is he okay? That $50 haircut, is he okay?
I'm fired up.
I'm super excited, you know, of Ryan Pace. He was trending because people were talking about all the dead cap money that the Bears are still paying, Khalil Mack and Jimmy Graham and others, and people were talking about it even last night.
Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
They're still bitter. No. They're still bitter about what happened last year. And you can understand that from a Bears standpoint because you're slowing down the progress. You're starting over again. People on Twitter were talking about Pace again because they're so dismayed about what's going on. But again, we know what this season is. You just have to be patient and wait for year two and year three. If you are squandering the money that they have in free agency, as you mentioned, over $100 million, if they don't get quality players to make a difference next year, the next couple of years, shame on them and shame on us.
Yeah, but again, spending that money is one thing, and I expect Ryan Poles to go on that spending spree. But if Justin Fields isn't the guy and doesn't look in week 17 anymore like he's the guy than he has in weeks 1 through 4. I don't know how many superstar players are, again, either side of the ball, you know, how attractive will the Chicago Bears destination be if they look and say, you don't have the quarterback, you're not going to win anything. You know, if the money's equal to go somewhere else, you're going to go to the playoff contending team. Now, the Bears aren't going to be a playoff contending team for certainly another 2 or 3 years, I would think. Mm-hmm. But I will, in the next breath, I'll tell you that the Packers haven't looked all that great either, right? I mean, their offense is completely different, and they got rookie wideouts who, you know, have to step up. Aaron Rodgers is not the same Aaron Rodgers because he doesn't have Devontae Adams around him, right? So as much as Detroit has been a more entertaining team and have been putting up points, they also allowed 48 points to Seattle. This division within the next couple of years could be very gettable if the trend up in Green Bay is what we've seen so far this season.
Let me ask you this. Don't you think, Brian, in the NFL, that's the quickest way to turn it around quickly? Like you said, you don't think that they're going to be a serious contender in the next couple of years. That could be true. Why couldn't the Bears be the Bengals of last year if they have offensive line help? And actually, the offensive line was so bad for the Bengals, it was the talent around Burrow that got them to the Super Bowl. If in the NFL, with the right equipment around the quarterback, you can get to the playoffs, can you not? Especially with the extra wild card.
Yeah, but in the first 2 weeks, the Bengals, you know, they weren't protecting Burrow, and he was getting his bell rung like every other play. Mm-hmm. Now, they've settled that down the last couple of weeks and look like a team that went to the Super Bowl last year, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know if Justin Fields is Joe Burrow. I hope he is eventually, but I need to see more from Justin Fields in these next 13 games as well.
I think that you need to give perspective because this is the era which you were writing about the Bears or definitely talking about the Bears. So I'm going back to say like Tom, Zach, and Harbaugh were two young quarterbacks, 89, 90, right? They were going back and forth and the young quarterbacks. And you had to determine, you know, after Jim McMahon, who was going to be the guy. So it was Tom, Zach, or Harbaugh. What I'm saying is that
the answer is neither.
Yeah, ultimately it was neither, right? But you have to figure out, like, if you have a young quarterback, at some point I would agree with you that there is going to be a veteran quarterback in camp, not what they have now. I think another veteran quarterback to push Justin Fields. That's what I feel is going to happen. I think that's in the offseason they'll find someone else. But maybe not to start, but I think it's not like we've never seen a quarterback controversy before, Brian. That's my point. Like, yeah, we could see that. If you said by week 17 you don't see improvement, then of course Poles has to be able to find someone just in case. And just in case Justin Fields doesn't get killed back there because of the bad offensive line.
Yeah, but one thing that Ryan Poles will not do, like trending Ryan Pace did do, is he's not spending a big chunk of his $110 million or whatever it is in free agent money in cap room for the next Mike Glennon, Chase Daniel, the Red Rifle, Nick Foles. I mean, these guys made five. I mean, Glennon made $18 million for 1 year, for the love of God. But $6, $7, $10 million, Nick Foles was getting, you know, paid, overpaid. There's going to be a veteran presence, perhaps, but no one's getting that kind of payday that, you know, Ryan Pace kept throwing money at these guys like they were starters. I mean, they weren't. I just hope Justin Fields does enough this year, and he certainly has plenty of time to do it, to make everyone believe that he's on the right path and that the ceiling is very high and he's going to get there sooner than later.
I don't know, Brian. I remember you saying Steve Walsh was going to be the guy.
Oh, for love of God.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, Henry Burris. You know, me and my Henry Burris fan club.
There was a column, I believe, that you might have written, said that. Walsh is going to be the guy. Never mind about Kramer.
I remember
Walsh is the guy.
We were down in Champaign the year that the Bears played down there while they were renovating Soldier Field. And Henry Burris took a snap, dropped back two steps back, and just tripped over his own feet. No one within 10 yards of him.
Yeah.
And I'm just like shaking my head up in the press box. This can't be happening. But it was happening.
And by the way, the same quarterback we're talking about, Justin Fields, has also tripped over his feet a couple times in one game. We did see that, did we not?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, man. And the hope is, for Bears fans listening, you want to be right. You want to root for this guy. I remember Brian and I were together the day after the draft when Justin Fields was drafted, and we were both overjoyed because it was new and fresh. You remember that show? We were so happy because and still happy for the young man. I just know that what I want, I'm not going to get in year one, in the official year one for Justin Fields. As you mentioned, push that Nagy stuff to the side. He was not ready. But this is the year where you're supposed to see some inkling of a quarterback that could be your future. And hopefully that will be the case with this quarterback. So,
hey, completing 51% of your passes is not going to get it done. So, again, he has to uphold his end of the bargain and show you week in, week out. You can't have a 27.7 passer rating. You don't want to be living in the 70s and think that's improvement, even though it was week to week. If you're not on 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, and you're calling run plays, you're not doing him any favors. But he has to show you that when he gets that snap, he's going to go 1-2, the ball's out. I know what I'm looking at, and I've got my target, and there it goes.
How will you measure this season if Justin Fields is the guy? How do you look at this season? You know, based on wins? Is it based on his connection to receivers and tight ends, running back? We want to hear your thoughts. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. How do you look at Justin Fields this season? We'll talk about that. Still to come, some thoughts about the Bulls as well in their first preseason game. We'll talk about that at 9:35. All part of the mix on Cap and Jay Hood.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Coming up, we will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko. And Waddle and Meller will be together at noon. So 12 to 2:30 into White Sox baseball to take on the Twins. That'll be a 2:30 pregame and a 3:10 first pitch at Guaranteed Rate. And there'll be an extended postgame show afterwards until about 8 o'clock. So keep it locked right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Brian and I are taking your thoughts on the Chicago Bears, 312-332-3776. Some thoughts now from Matt Eberflus, Brian, talking about capitalizing on turnovers. What about this defense?
Yeah, I mean, it's just about, you know, creating momentum. And it's all about getting chunk plays. You know, if you can create chunk plays, that's when you score. And that's what happens. You know, you look at any scoring drive in the NFL this week, I'll guarantee it has some type of chunk play in there that scored. Very rarely you methodically go down the field and not have an explosive play. You know, run a 16 or a pass of 20, however you want to define your explosives, but certainly that's a key to it.
Defense is his calling card, his distinguishing characteristics because of his time as a DC. But Brian, you know, as much as we talk about the offense, and I know that that leads the way, you know, whether or not you can get the ball down the field vertically, defensively, especially stopping the run, it leaves a lot to be desired. They bend and they break at times, don't they?
They are the worst run defense in the league right now. 183.3 rushing yards per game. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that coming. Now, I didn't see the Bears being the second best running team in the league to this point. But, yeah, you got to tighten that up in a big, big way.
Well, I mean, look at the defense as far as the line. Has Robert Quinn brought anything to the table the last two or three games? Seriously. The same guy that was wreaking havoc last year getting sacks has been very quiet in this defense under Eberflus.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, last year, he finally, you know, 2 years ago, he didn't earn his keep, and he talked about being in a better mental space and everything else last year and whatever else was going on. You at least, that's the guy you're expecting to see game in, game out. Yeah, he's been too quiet. Now, look, you don't have a lot of difference makers on this defense, but you have enough, and you shouldn't be allowing almost 200 yards rushing per game. You just can't have that.
So with Eddie Jackson, I like that he is performing with confidence and focus. He's a different player than he was the last couple years. Kendall Vildor, if that's really his name, is starting to really be a little bit of a scrappy player for the Bears. I mean, not great, but at least he's in there. He gives you a chance defensively. And so I like those two in particular. But this is what we're talking about with the growing pains at quarterback, the same thing at cornerback with Gordon and Brisker. And Dominique Robinson. All this is in transition. This is all evaluation. Young players trying to learn. And I'll give Eberflus this credit. Eberflus said that this is kind of a learning process because he has a young team. Usually coaches won't say that. They won't say, hey, we're trying to figure out who we are. It's a learning process. I like that. At least
they don't usually give them an out or an excuse, right?
No. Usually they'll lie to you and say, we got enough to win.
Eddie Jackson is, I think three interceptions so far. You know, I was dying to see that last year, and I know he has a lot of off-season stuff and off-the-field stuff that he was dealing with that we weren't privy to. So I'm glad because you needed him, and so far so good. And I think he's in a much better place, and he's certainly a much better player.
All right, Brian, let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. There he is, Space on ESPN 1000. Hello, Space.
Hoodie Hanley. What's up, fellas? How y'all feeling?
Okay, Space. Okay. What do you got?
All right, so here's what I think. It's not fair to properly evaluate Justin Fields this year. And the reason why I say that is you've got to think about everything. You know, the Bears' best analogy is like telling a chef to cook me a 5-star meal, but then you tell them all you can use is Spam. I mean, you can put some onions in it, put some carrots in it, some seasoning, but at the end of the day, it's still some damn Spam. You know what I'm saying? If you want a better product, you got to upgrade the meat.
I think I saw that on Guys Grocery Games. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, we and giving them the prime ribs, everything, but give them something to work with. You can't expect this big product, great product, and you're not upgrading the talent. So, I mean, not to call other guy on it, but you got to give them some talent. That's the key. So get them a line, get them some weapons to throw to, and then evaluate them. It's too early to properly evaluate the kid.
All right, Space.
Are you a Spam guy?
I was a Spam guy, yes,
I know,
when I was a kid.
Too.
Yeah.
When was the last time you had Spam?
Had to be when I was 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Times are tough on the South Side.
I've never I was 1 of 9, believe me. That was, that was Thanksgiving dinner. but hey, I've never been to Hawaii, but Spam is like a delicacy there, right? You can go to like roadside restaurants and stuff.
Yeah, it's
and
a big that is right, Brian. It is a big deal in Hawaii. I saw that and I was like, "Wait, what? Spam?" Yeah, it's a thing down there, yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing. Like, people look forward to their Spam sandwiches and whatever else you do with Spam.
Oh, my God. So they dress up Spam to make it taste like anything else? I mean,
I think I have to go to Hawaii and just investigate that, or just go to Hawaii.
312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Listening on the ESPN Chicago app, Spam. Yeah, it had to be 9 or 10. That little can had the little key to turn it open, to open up the can.
I feel like a Monty Python bit's going to break out in here in a second.
Listening on the
Spam.
The ESPN Chicago app in St. Paul, Minnesota. Here's Ken on Cap and Jay Hood.
That's,
hello, Ken.
That's where spam is made.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, look, I love the show. Always listening. I got to weigh in on this Justin Field deal, man. Look, the Bears drafted Jim McMahon back in 82. Right?
Yes.
And if Mike Ditka had a choice between Justin Fields and Jim McMahon, he would have took Justin Fields hands down. How long did it take Jim McMahon to figure it out? He had number one picks all around him, plus an offensive line, plus a Hall of Famer running back sitting behind him. It still took him 2 years to get it together. This kid don't have a shot, man. And if you ask me, that offensive coordinator, Mike Lou, get it, don't get see, that guy is wearing green and white underwear, if you ask me.
He's sabotaging. He's working behind the lines.
I'm kidding. I'm so serious, man. I mean, look, how do you punt a ball? You got 3 minutes left. That's the equivalence of Buddy Ryan down and taking a knee in Philly. He got fired for that. So what are we doing here? We sit up here giving Justin Field all the rip for everything that's wrong with the Bears. I suggest, man, we got to look at what's going on with this team. And, yes, he don't have the talent. Once again, fellas, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Ken. So, and by the way, Brian, I'm this year's old, in which I learned that the Spam Museum is in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I'm telling you. I just told you that's where they make the stuff. It was just coincidence. The Luke Getsy wearing the cheese wedge on his head during the play calling, was that a tip off that he's still working for the Packers?
You think it's an inside job?
Yeah, he's behind enemy lines. I'll show him. I mean, wouldn't he be? I mean, if you know, I think he would have taken a job in Minnesota if he was really going to still work for the Packers. But
yes,
it's interesting. I mean, that you go back to the '85 Bears, and that's the second time we've referenced that this show.
Sure.
Buddy Ryan. When he wasn't taking a knee in Philly, he won that Super Bowl. God bless Jim McMahon, and he was serviceable. That defense won the Super Bowl for the Chicago Bears, right?
Yeah, I'm just perplexed because people are going back years and years ago to try to find when there was actual talent, sustained talent on this Bears team. So it's like, I mean, it's 2022. We got to move forward.
That's the problem in this town is, you know, the Blackhawks were still showing black and white highlights before the game up on the Jumbotron.
That's true.
You know, before they won the Stanley Cup three times. But when I was covering them, I'm like, see, this is a problem when your highlights are in black and white. You haven't had a good run. So, yeah, time that we don't reference the 85 Bears anymore and hopefully – Poles and Eberflus are the guys and know what they're doing and prove it sooner than later.
Hold on a second. Sidebar, may I approach, Shay?
Yes.
May I approach? Brought to you by Aiken Law, 3126 million. Put that number on your phone. Sign my ball. Hold on a second, Brian. From your time like covering like the Minnesota North Stars, did you go to Austin, Minnesota for the Spam Museum? I'm looking at museum and shop hours. 10 to 5 Monday through Saturday, and they're open 10 to 4 on Sunday. I'm looking through this. They've got a little Spam Museum market. You can get cookbooks.
Yeah, see.
What the hell? JR, did you see this?
I have seen it. I have heard of it. You know, that's a hell of a marketing job by Hormel, really. I mean, just to come for your product to a separate place, like a Hall of Fame, brilliant.
The Vienna beef thing up on, up around Damon and I would pop in there and go get yourself a Chicago dog, but I never made the trip to the Spam Museum or cafe or wherever the hell.
Free admission, guys.
My mom made Spam dinner a few times when I was growing up.
Yeah, sure. We all agree. I mean, you know, anyone.
Not for me, really. I wasn't a big fan.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm looking at this, Brian. They have a thing here on the wall at this Spam Museum. It says, how many Spam cans tall are you? And so you can stand against the wall. Are you 35 cans tall? Are you 30 cans tall? This is unbelievably insane.
So I'm just trying to picture, envision a can. So there's about 3 inches of Spam.
That's about right.
Yeah, right? So 35. Yeah, I don't know how many.
Coming in at 3 inches.
That's right. I'm one Spam can tall, depending on where you're measuring.
It's just unbelievable. Okay. Yeah,
and don't embellish your Spam can.
No, don't.
Some people like to say they're two or three Spam cans. I don't think they are.
Yeah, sure, Superman.
Yeah, exactly. That's all we know. That's tube socks down there. We all know what that is, pal. Okay. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. The Bulls played the Pelicans last night, or did they? We will talk about the win total for the Bulls. We saw what Vegas says. What do you say? Next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Terry the slip, Hill the kick, extra pass. Garlic Jones dives in, draws the foul.
Oh, whenever he gets some butter with that roll.
Right there on NBC Sports Chicago, the first preseason game for the Bulls as they lose to the Pelicans 129-125. With Brian Hanley in for Cap, I am Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, the same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find Fast Break, the NBA and Bulls podcast that Chris Bleck and I do. Go to the ESPN Chicago app, click Fast Break, and all the NBA and all the Bulls you need is right there. Fast Break on the ESPN Chicago app. So, Brian, I watched the first half of this game of the Bulls and the Pelicans. And so there's a lot of question marks about this roster and how there wasn't really necessarily, you know, a couple of changes that could really pay dividends for the Bulls. There's some bench help here with Drummond and Dragic. I get that. But I think that, for the most part, Karnaschovas and Eversley looked at this roster and said, if we can get healthy, then we could be better than we were last year. And I'm not sure if that's the case, especially when you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference.
Well, and especially with Lonzo Ball not healthy. It was good to see Vucevic have a good enough game last night. Mm-hmm. Questions, you know, going into the offseason, were they going to keep him around or trade him? And they went with continuity. He's got to be a hell of a lot better this year. DeMar DeRozan, I hope he doesn't have to be Superman, you know, most nights like he was last year, especially in the second half. He can't do it alone, but, you know he's going to try to, and you love that guy. But, Patrick Williams, you got to see a lot from him this year too, right? I mean, it's a pretty big year. I know he's still very young, but last night he wasn't visible enough for my, you know, on the offense in particular. I have to see more from him.
Well, let's go to the win total. All right, Shay. So what's the win total for the Bulls?
41.5, juiced slightly to the over.
41.5. Would you take, Shay, the over or under if you're going to bet that today?
You know, I probably wouldn't bet it at all because I think it's dead on. I think this team is about 500 as currently constructed. They didn't make any changes. The rest of the East got better, especially you look at Cleveland, Boston, Milwaukee. The top of the East is as strong as ever. Kind of that shift, Hoodie, we talked about last week. It used to be the West was the powerhouse conference. It kind of feels like that's moving towards the East with all of these powerhouse teams in the Eastern Conference. The Bulls, to me, just feel like that 7, 8, 9, 500 team in the Eastern Conference. I don't think I would bet it at all. But if you put a gun to my head, for lack of a better term, probably go under if I think Lonzo's not going to play.
Okay, so here's how I look at it, Brian. I'm not going to move the goalpost on the Bulls because you and I have covered Bulls teams that did not make the playoffs. This Gar Pax era in which the Bulls were irrelevant, free agents weren't coming here, et cetera, et cetera. I am happy that the Bulls are at least relevant and also will be a playoff team, I believe. However, after this season, if you're not going to make any moves by the deadline or whatever, then you got to take a good look at your roster and say, we allocate all this money to Zach LaVine. We know that DeMar DeRozan is the oldest player on the team. Vucevic can come in and give you 20 and 10 most nights, no matter how you look at that, empty calories or not. He can give you production. But then what after that? In a very competitive East. So I'm happy they're a postseason team, but now what's next?
Well, if I had to bet that today and I was betting with my head instead of my heart, that number looks too low to me. So I would bet under because it just seems like it's a gimme. They should be at least a few games over 500, Lonzo Ball or not. But this East is really gotten much tougher, as Shea just said. And the fact that they sat atop the East for as long as they did last year before Lonzo got hurt and they, you know, things kind of came off the rails, somewhere between the team that eked into the playoffs and the team that was atop the Eastern Conference early on in the season probably is where Bulls reality should be. But that number just looks too low to me. I'm not saying that they're going to contend to win the Eastern Conference, but I hope they're not just a play-in game either. I hope they're, you know, we see, just like Justin Fields, we see growth and development and progress, and that's as a collective with the Bulls. You're not looking at any one guy, but you said Zach got paid. DeMar DeRozan's going to bring it at most every night. Need to see more consistency from Vucevic and guys like Williams. But, you know, Caruso got hurt. They were in trouble defensively. They need more than a couple guys on defense, too.
Okay, so what would be the Brian Hanley line if you're setting it for the win total against the East?
Probably 44, 45. Not substantially more, but not you know, 41 and a half dead on. You know, you have to pick a 500 plus 500 or sub 500 team. But and again, tell me when Lonzo Ball is coming back or if he's coming back. And the fact that he answered the questions the way he did the other day, last week,
mm-hmm.
who's to say? It was going to be a 6-8 week injury. It turned into a end of the season injury, turned into, wake us up at the beginning of the year. He'll be ready to go this season. And now he's not. And he's having a third surgery within 12 months on the same knee. I mean, he had the knee drained. He had the surgery, the knee drained. He's had shots, and now he's having another surgery. And he can't tell you when he's going to be back. I mean, and he hasn't had an offseason to speak of either.
Okay, so, Shay, I'm looking at the Eastern Conference. I'll tell you the teams that won't make the playoffs, the teams that will be in the lottery, that will be in Brooklyn sitting in their seats looking for draft picks. Okay, so Orlando's young, and so is Detroit, Indiana, Washington, and the Knicks. The Knicks, I don't believe those teams will be in the playoffs. However, I think it's chalk from what we saw last year. Charlotte's scrappy. Cavaliers will not be ninth place. That should be, at worst, a top seven team in the East. Atlanta is going to be good, especially blessed with good health. Brooklyn is going to have something to say. I know how dysfunctional Brooklyn is, right? I don't know what Ben Simmons brings to the table. I don't know if he's locked in. I don't know if Kyrie's ready to play, you know, a lot of the season. He's missed so many games over the last 3 or 4 years. It's incredible. Kevin Durant, I know he's got his head on straight, but again, I don't know what Brooklyn looks like, but I expect him to be in the playoffs. Toronto's going to be good. Philly's going to be good with Embiid and Harden. Milwaukee will have something to say. They could be the best in the East. Boston, even without Udoka as a head coach, they still have three players that I think would be formidable and keep them in the ball game, in many ball games. And the Heat with Spoelstra, with Jimmy Butler. And I saw those contract with Tyler Hero. Holy bleep. Was it 4 years, $130 million, something like that?
Cost of doing business.
Yeah, and he's a good player.
Oh, yeah.
So now where the Bulls fall into that, I believe that the Bulls should be in the top eight. They should be in the playoffs. Now, whether it's 37, and I saw it at 38, seen it at 41.5, I heard Brian's line. I expect Lonzo to be back after January. The hope is, I'm knocking on wood, hopefully that's the case, because that will increase the win total, one, but two, that solidifies them as a playoff team. But all those other teams I mentioned, especially the top four from last year, and you could throw Brooklyn there as well, those teams are more talented than the Bulls. They are, Brian.
Well, I'll tell you, I'd be careful writing off some of the bottom of the East, too, because if you look at, like, the Pistons, for example, they got two lottery picks in from last season. They got Jaden Ivey out of Purdue. They got Jalen Durant out of Memphis. Then they go and fleece Utah for Bogdanovich. They're not going to be a doormat anymore. That's a feisty team.
Well, that's why God made 11th. That's why that's
why God made the play-in.
No, but they're not. They won't make it there unless you want to get down on a bet on that, pal. They're not going to be in the top 10.
Listen, I might be open to it.
All right, well, I'm just telling you, like, you just can't. All I'm telling you is that when I look at the teams that are solidified with veteran talent, I think we might get chalk like we had last year, unless there's some major injury.
I agree. The top four of the East is leaps and bounds ahead of the rest.
So, what's your win total, Jay?
For the Bulls?
Well, no, Jay. You're going.
Sorry, I
under,
thought you said
right?
Shay. Yeah, I would go under if I had the better.
Easy, Zappy. It's a Jay show.
So, okay. So Brian, I look at this team. Last year, they're 46 wins. I see them around the same. So I would have them at 43, 44 wins this year. And again, that's no shade at the Bulls as much as it is. Look at Boston.
Yeah.
Battle-tested Boston last year. Look at Milwaukee. I mean, and also the conversation goes into this. So Zach LaVine is the leader on this team. He's the guy that's going to steer this ship. Okay, so compare Zach LaVine to what's in Boston, in Milwaukee, Jimmy Butler in Miami, Philly with Embiid and Harden. Look at the rosters. Look at the upper the top two or three players on each one of these rosters. And there's no Kevin Durant on this team.
Why do you have to harsh my mellow like that, Jay?
beg your pardon.
Yeah, what? I mean, we got three preseason games left, and now you got me feeling all bad about them.
No, but remember, I came into the segment saying I'd rather be this in the mix than be out of the playoffs, right? I'd rather be in the postseason than not. At least the Bulls are relevant.
Yeah, and they were a feel-good story last year, a likable team, playing great at the beginning, and then everything kind of went off the rails and they, you know, whimpered out of the season. To me, Zach, I know Zach's got the max contract and he's the guy, but really, I mean, DeMar DeRozan's the guy, right? I mean, he's the guy who's pushing that team, and he better not have to score 35 to 40 points on every night to give them a chance, because that was great. They did it more often than not, but the Superman cape it better not need to come out three times a week for them to be a playoff team.
Right. DeMar DeRozan with his classic twos were great when LaVine was in and out of the lineup because of COVID. But you need to figure out what your point guard situation will be. Is it Io? Is it Dragic? When will Ball be back? And then the others who can step up and help this team. All I know is that the Pelicans looked fun last night. They're going to be in the playoffs again, and they're going to be fun to watch under Willie Green. So that'll be interesting to watch. We have got, my friends, the Cap and Jay Hood Cut of the Day coming up next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
You know, JR, every time you play that, I know that's fresh off of your little Wurlitzer, fresh off of your record player there. I can hear the crackles in that record.
Two tickets to paradise, my friend.
Can I get a clean copy of that, for God's sakes?
He's got that briefcase record player back here. He's playing it out of.
It's unbelievable, Brian.
In college, I had tickets, not to paradise, but to go see Eddie Money.
Yeah.
And apparently he had a little bit of a drinking problem. They canceled the tour.
No. A little bit of a drinking problem, yes.
Yeah.
I saw him actually at a private event at a country club in Lake County, and I can confirm that there was some beverages being consumed.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Good for him. Yeah. Enjoy yourself.
Well, but when you're paying to see him, you want him to not slur the song. You like to actually maybe have him sing it.
So. Wait is so long. Waiting so long.
I've been waiting for this drink so long.
Two tickets to paradise, just about two Moscow mules.
Just make it a double. Let's be done with it.
I think he's the bartender on the new Love Boat.
Jesus.
No?
I am so sad to know that there's a new Love Boat and it's got no Isaac on it.
No Isaac.
No Isaac pointing at you, no Doc. No Gavin McLeod. Sad.
Where's Georgia Engel when you need her?
Oh, my God. You just watched it on a Saturday night just to see the guest stars. Guest starring Vic Tayback. Oh. Oh, from Alice. Tremendous.
Charo.
Charo, everybody.
Gucci, Gucci now.
Gucci. Wait a minute. What's going on there?
is this going to last?
Not if Robert Wagner's not on there. No, it's not going to last, for God's sakes.
This is what they do now. They bring back classics. They're sterile. They take the piss out of them. And then it's just left with nothing. You end up getting canceled season in.
Yeah, so.
But it's not a scripted series. It's the Love Boat, but then the 12 singles are going to find love, of course, there. And then at every port, some more people board the boat to disrupt the happy singles who might have found love. And so now they're tempted. Now it's Temptation Island. What? Help.
Vic Damone. He's a guest starring now on Love Boat. This segment brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, proudly. Chicago's CutSteakhouse.com brings us the Cap'n J Hood Cut of the Day. All right, JR, here we go.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Marilyn McCoo.
The song. Curling off the screen, driving baseline. Oh, you fat, with a three. Yes, I just said that. That is that man's name. Don't tweet at me. I don't want to tweet from anybody. That's you the man's could. Name.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Go to ChicagoCutSteakhouse.com for the finest in food.
Sidebar, may I approach?
Brought to you by Aiken Law. 312-6 million.
Thank you.
Sign my ball.
Thank you, Jonathan Hood. Mm-hmm. I have to ask that. I saw this morning. McDonald's is bringing out adult Happy Meals. Mm-hmm. So you can go to McDonald's, you can get a Big Mac or a 10-piece nugget Happy Meal, and it will come with a toy.
Your pardon the expression.
Correct. Yeah. Seriously.
Easy so now.
My question to you is, what toy should the adult Happy Meal come with?
We turn to Brian Hanley, Brian.
Well, you could do cross-branding. You could remember the Home of the Whopper underwear that used to be sold at novelty shops back in the day?
Yes, I could see that. Adult toys. Come on, brother, really?
It's a Mr. Happy Meal.
I mean, if you're going to call it the adult Happy Meal and it's going to come with toys, that feels like a layup.
Exactly, right? I mean, hey, the blow-up doll won't fit in the stand next to the fries.
Mommy, my Happy Meal is buzzing.
Hey, that's for your father.
That's not for you. Let's get out of there.
Open the box, there's a whip in it.
I thought it was a bigger fry. Can you put the whole potato in there, Mom? That's not a potato. It's something you...
How do you take your mouth off that?
Oh, for love of God.
Don't touch
man.
My toy. You're probably the expression. My God. I mean, an adult toy. Come on now.
Yeah, is it just our minds that went right to the gutter, or is that everyone out there?
What am I supposed to think when I read the article? Seriously? McDonald's debuting adult Happy Meals with toys.
Yeah, it's the bag's too small to put a whole Monopoly game or Sorry in there.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's the new operation, for God's sake.
What are they giving you, an action figure? I don't think so.
Well,
jeez.
Well,
the thing that was really weird was when I pulled up to the drive-thru and they had that machine where you put the two quarters in back-to-back and you turn the handle. That was really weird.
Would you get a condom?
Oh, man.
Ridged for your entertainment.
Oh, my God.
Enjoyment.
Exactly right. Oh, man, that's so unbelievable. Oh, this is great. I love this. It says Magnum. Never mind. It's not an onion ring. It's a condom.
They don't have onion rings at McDonald's, do they?
Well, you never
they
know.
They might have some rings meals.
See, here we go. This is what I'm saying.
We thank you for listening and twitching and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Brian, thanks for coming in. With your adult toys.
Have you a pardon the expression?
We will crosstalk with Carmen Yurko next. Our thanks to Shay and JR on the other side of the glass. For Brian, for Cap, I'm just telling you, and Jay Hood, thanks so much for listening. We're back tomorrow at 7. So long, everybody. From Chicago.